Everyone, Parshas Kedoshim, we spoke at length about this week in the morning in the Chumash here. I just want to add an interesting pshat I saw later in the end of the week after I already gave the Chumash here, that the Reb Shimon Shkop in his Shari Yosher, in his Hakdama to the Sefer, he writes a new pshat Kedoshim Tiyu. He writes Kedoshim Tiyu means that a person should live not for himself. Kedoshim Tiyu means that you should be devoted to the klal. Think about others. Be what we call today selfless. Try to be part of something instead of just being part of yourself. And I think it very much connects to the message of Pesach Sheni. The whole idea of Pesach Sheni, it was a group of Jews who, instead of bringing their own carbon Pesach, they decided they're going to become tameh. Because there was either a Meis Mitzvah or Nadav Aviyu, different Pshatim, what they were busy with. But either way, this is a group of people who basically gave up, they forego their option, their ability to bring Karmen Pesach Bezmane because they were trying to help someone else. So I think that's the whole lesson of this time of the year as we close, for many people closing in on the Avelos of Rabbi Akiva's students, it's really this message of living for someone else, thinking about someone else, putting someone else before our own self needs. And I heard this from Rabbi Konigsberg, from Eliakim Konigsberg. I think it's a beautiful insight. He said that the word Kedoshim, right, we talk about, let's say, fallen soldiers, they're called Kedoshim. Why are they called Kedoshim? So he said because they put themselves second and others first. And I would add, even those, let's say, who died al Kiddush Hashem, those who died in the Holocaust, those who died because they were Jewish over the thousands of years of our history, they're also called Kedoshim. You know why? Because they never thought about themselves. Their life wasn't about themselves. Their life was all about Hashem. And they died al Kiddush Hashem. They died with that mindset that my life is not mine. I don't live for myself. I live for something bigger. So it's an important message as we walk away from Parashas Kedoshim, as we come into Pesach Sheni, as we get closer to Lag BaOmer, to remind ourselves that we don't live for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about what we can do for the greater Tzibur, what we can do for the club, what we can do to help society. Today's learning is dedicated to Chos Refuah Shlema, Chaim Yeshua ben Hendel, as well as David. You're on. I don't know if David's on this morning. David Pollack, you on this morning? Hello. Can anyone hear me? Adina.
Not on,
okay, I just want to make sure everyone can hear me because I don't see anyone, so I'm having a little issues here. So I just want to make sure everyone's still with me. I wanted to wish David Pollack a mazel tov upon the engagement of his daughter. Michael knows more of the information than I do, but just a special mazel tov, and only we should get together for simchas in the future. Okay, we were holding over here middle of the sugya where the Gemara was talking about who exactly is one allowed to be married to versus regarding the knossos. We learned that it says in the Torah that you can only get knossos veloy seal Yisha if you're able to marry her. So we had a machloikis atonoyim. What does it mean to be able to marry her? Does that mean that the marriage goes through, or does that mean that you can stay married? So the Gemara said, what's the difference? So the Gemara came up with an interesting nafkamina. Source number one, may be nayu, ikke be nayu. Again, the Gemara is going now in Reb Akiva's world. Reb Akiva holds that chai ve'lavin, someone who's a lav, let's say, for example, almona to kain gadol, Grusha to a regular kain. This is actually this week's Parashah's Emor. So that's a lav. And Rebbe Akiva holds that Chai Ve'Lavin don't have Kedushin. So the Gemara says, well, if Chai Ve'Lavin don't have Kedushin, so you can't marry her, and you can't stay married to her. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, May Binayu, Ike Binayu, Almonu L'Koyin Gadol. The Gemara says, there's something very unique about an Almonu L'Koyin Gadol, even according to Rebbe Akiva. Why? Ki Reb Simoy. Like Reb Simoy, the time we learned that Rebbe Akiva, Reb Simoy, Emer, Min Hakol, Asa Rebbe Akiva, Mamzerim, all Chai Ve'Lavin. Reb Akiva would turn the baby into a mamzer, chutz, except the almon l'koyin gadol. Except that almon l'koyin gadol, Rashi says the same thing with a grusha to a regular koyin. Even though those are all lavin, the baby would not be a mamzer. Why not? Shari Amr Torah, because it says in the Torah, lo yikach, it says don't take her, don't make marriage, v'lo yichalal, and don't make the baby into a chalo. So the Gemara makes a drasha, chilulin hu asa, that the product of such a marriage is a chalo, the baby is a chalo, but vein asa mamzerim, the baby is not a mamzer. So, B'li Neder, later this year, we're going to talk more about what exactly is the difference between a cholol and a mamzo. We'll get into that discussion. But what's relevant for us is, again, the Gemara wanted to know, how is it possible to get married to a almon l'kayin gadol if it's chavi lam? So the Gemara comes up with a chap. The Gemara says, almon l'kayin gadol is the exception to the rule. That even though it's technically chavi lavin, and normally chavi lavin, there's no tvisis kedushin, almon l'kayin gadol is the exception. Now, how do you know Amar Lekayin Gadol is the exception? The Gemara never talked about the marriage. So Taisus learned, we spoke about this Taisus a lot the last 2 weeks. Taisus learned because there's an underlining rule over here. The rule is that whoever produces a mamzer, that's a sign that that kedushin was not valid. And therefore, since the Torah over here says that the baby is not a mamzer, again, if an almana marries a kohen, if a grusha marries a kohen, or an almana marries a kohen gadol, and these, again, sadly enough, today's world, you have stories of grushas and kohanim getting married and producing children. Someone just came to me a few months ago, he was dealing with a shayla in an outdoor minyan, where a grusha, a guy was open about it, he was a kohen, and he was not embarrassed about it, and he said he married a grusha, and he produced children, and this is the children. So that's a cholol, the baby's a cholol. So we'll have to talk about some of the practical ramifications. And again, these shailas do happen, and then they can also happen with Bali Tshuva. People that are not from, they don't realize that they're a kohen, they get married to a grusha, and they produce a baby. So that baby's a chol. We'll see, we'll have to discuss if a chol is worse off than a mamzer, or is it better off than a mamzer. But whatever the case may be, the Gemara says clearly that the status of that baby produced from such a relationship is a chol and not a mamzer. Okay, but what does that have to do with kedusha? Yes?
Just for clarification, does a mamzer only come from a chayve lav, or can come from a chayve karpas?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that later in Shita. A mamzer is produced from chayve krisas, and according to some people, chayve lav. But predominantly chayve krisas. Let's say, for example, a person lives with his sister, he lives with his aunt, he lives with any one of those major arayis, that usually produces a mamzer. A cholol is generally produced when a kohen lives with someone he's not allowed to live with because of his kuhuna status. Meaning, we'll talk about this, I don't want to give away the whole share, but later we'll talk about, let's say a kohen is boiled his sister.
Okay.
Does that baby become a cholol, or that baby becomes a mamzer? So Bli Neder will get more. But the general rule, we'll see, I have Gemaras for this, I'll show you Gemaras Bli Neder on the second page.
It should be both.
Oh, that's a shayla. We're going to talk about it. Very good. It's a ganze shayla. We're going to discuss that Bli Neder if we get to it, hopefully later today. So what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara tells us that when an almona lives with a kohen gadol, there's no mamzeris. Good. What does that have to do with? Our question wasn't mamzeris. Our question was if almona is ma'anis a kohen gadol, does he pay knas? Why? Because you only pay knas if you're able to marry her. Are you able to marry her? The answer is no, because she's a chavi lavin, and Rav Akiva holds no tzvi seklushin and a chavi lavin. So the Gemara says, no, but she's not a mamzer. Who cares if the baby's a mamzer? That's not our discussion. Our point of discussion in our sugya is not mamzeris. Our point of discussion is tvisas kedusha, because that's the deciding factor. Because the only way you can give knas if the kohen gadol was ma'anis the almono, would be if the almono and the kohen gadol can get married. But since almono kohen gadol is alav, and Rabbi Akiva holds no tvisas kedusha in alav, so how do you understand this? So the Gemara says, oh, because there's no mamzeris. So Taisus told us last week, we spoke a lot about it, that Taisus told us that mamzeris is a tips you off to know about the kedushin. When a baby is labeled a mamzer by the Torah, that's the Torah's way of telling you that their marriage was not valid, and therefore zakta taisus are geshmak. So if over here the Torah tells me that the baby is not a mamzer, so that's the Torah's way of telling me that the marriage was chal. I thought chay ve'lavin doesn't have tefisas kedushin. Yeah, this is the exception to the rule. For whatever reason, the Torah decided that almonu l'kain gadol or grusha v'chalutza l'kain hejit. Chalutza is a bad example. Grusha l'kain hejit. That is an exception to the rule that there is kedushin. But the only way I know that there is kedushin is from the fact that the baby is not a mamzer. That's the only way I know the status of the marriage, because the Torah doesn't say anything about the marriage. The Torah says don't marry her, which one would leave one to believe you're not allowed to marry her, and the marriage is not chal. But since the Torah also told me, we'll have to see where the Torah told me that the baby's not a mamzer, so that gives it away to know that the baby's not a mamzer, it must be the kedushin is chal. So now we have a geshmaka nafka mina. So according to one sheet in the Gemara, it's all about getting married. So almono can marry a kohen gadol, the marriage goes through. So if the marriage goes through, so then he'd have to pay a knas. But according to the other sheet of the Gemara, it has to be with staying married. Almona is not permitted to stay married to a kohen gadol, and therefore there would be no knas. So that's the nafka mina between whether or not if an almona would go over and be ma'anis a kohen gadol. I'm sorry, the other way around. The kohen gadol will go out and be ma'anis an almona. Now I know it sounds very strange, but as we all know, during Bayis Sheni, the Kohani Gedolim weren't exactly the Kohen Gadol that we think of in our mind. That was more like Bayis Rishon time. The Kohen Gadol was, like Aaron HaKohen status. You can't imagine Aaron HaKohen going over to Amon and being honest. It's so foreign to our conception. But in Bayis Sheni, technically it happened. But then you have a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen goes over to a Grusha. That's more, I guess, practical. So if a regular Kohen goes over to a Grusha and he's Ma'anisar, so does he have to pay Knas? So the Gemara is saying it depends on if you hold it's tully in getting married or it's tully in staying married. So we mentioned last week, and we spoke a lot about this with Rebbe Chanan and Shtekel Torah, about what is the connection between Mamzeris and Kedushin. But there's a new mahalach in the Rishayim that I want to share with you this morning that's perhaps not as lomdish as the other mahalach, is the Shidda Mekubetzes, number two. The Shidda Mekubetzes wants the taina that Rashi learned the Gemara differently than Tosfos. How did Rashi learn the Gemara differently than Tosfos? If you scroll down the bottom of the page, there's a Rashi, 1b. So Rashi writes on this Gemara, lo yikach. So Rashi, v'somoch lei, and right next to the violation of taking an almona, it says, v'lo yichal azarei, do not profane his children. So says Rashi, midin kuhunahu mechalaloi. So we learn from here that the children will only have a status of a chalol, v'loi shem mamzerim aleim, but they will not get the status of mamzerim on them. So Rashi seems to be an innocent Rashi. Seems to be the Rashi just explained the Gemara. That when the Gemara says that the baby's not a mamzer and the baby's a chalol, how do you know it? Where do you see it from the Pesukim? So it's like Rashi, because if you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Emor, it says in the Torah, lo yikach, don't take, I think it's Parshas Achar, either Parshas Emor or Parshas Achimois, maybe this week's, last week's Parshas, the Torah says, don't take, and right next to it says, don't profane, don't make a chol, so we make a drasha, that the Torah is telling me that if you did to take, you're going to produce a chol, why not a mamzer? So the answer is because the Torah is saying there's no mamzeres. Now we'll have to get into Blinedda later today. Maybe the reason why the Torah doesn't talk about mamzeres is because mamzeres goes without saying, which we'll talk more about. But look at the Shidda Mekubetzes. Says the Shidda Mekubetzes number two. The Efshir Nami Shed Rashi Tiritz Kush Achritu. Says the Shidda Mekubetzes, he thinks Rashi had another agenda over here. Rashi was trying to answer a kasha. The kasha Lula Taisvis. He had the same kasha as Taisvis. The Mehechen Shamin and the Kedushin Taisvis and Amon Lokayan Gadol. Where do you see from our Gemara that Kedushin is Chal and Amon Lokayan Gadol? Maybe the way you read the Gemara was just addressing the status of the babies. The baby's a chol, the baby's not a mamzer. How does that shed light on the status of the marriage? Maybe in a chanami, the kedushin is still not typhus because it's chayvei lavin, but there's some chiddush that the baby's not a mamzer. How do you know that according to Bakiva, that this is a different type of Kedushin versus the other Chayvi Lavin? Mamash what Taisus was bothered with last week. So Taisus told us a Shtikul Torah. Taisus told us that the status of the baby is a giveaway for the status of the marriage. If the baby's a mamzer, then the Kedushin is not chal. If the baby's not a mamzer, the Kedushin is chal. But the Shita wants to tell you another pshat. He says, V'tiritz Rashi, no. Rashi's giving you a different answer. The Ivra. If the Torah would have been teaching me that the baby is not a chalal from the words v'lo yichal al zaroi, don't profane his children, in a chanami, I would have said, I would have said like that. Miu, however, says the Sheikh, listen to this. He says, Miu, however, hashto di afino le midichsiv v'lo yikachu v'somach le v'lo yichal. He says, that's what Rashi wanted. Rashi wanted the fact that the Torah says, lo yikach, don't take, and the next to it says v'loy chal. What's the drasha? Mashma the hochi kama. The way you read the pasuk is like this. That what does it mean lo yikach? What does it mean you can't have marriage? It means to the extent that it's going to create a chalo. But not with regard to everything. Meaning the way Rashi learned the Gemara reads like this, lo yikach v'lo yichal, the Torah wrote the word lo yikach next to the word v'lo yichal. You know what to teach me? That the lo yikach is going on the pasuk of lo yichal. When the Torah said you can't have a relationship between Amon and Kohen Gadol, it didn't mean with regard to everything. It didn't mean with regard to the Kedushin. It just meant with regard to the v'lo yichal. It just meant that this is an imperfection marriage, and this imperfection marriage will cause chalol, but nothing else. And therefore the Kedushin would be chal, and the baby's not a mamzer. So according to Rashi and the Shidda Mekubetzes, it's tak agzeris hakosav in the marriage itself. It's not just a backwards from the mamzeris status. It's a gilei hakra from the pasuk itself that here the Torah validates the marriage. Now you have to know why. I don't know why, but it's agzeris hakosav. But it's better than Taisvis. According to Taisvis, the Torah never addressed the marriage because the Torah said leikach, you can't get married. But there's exeris akasa from the mamzeris, so we figure out the marriage. According to the Shikun Gubetz, according to Rashi, it's as if the Torah itself said, this marriage goes through. Where does the Torah write it? Because the Torah wrote the words, v'lo yikach, don't get married, and right next to it says, v'lo yichalo. That's the Torah's way of saying that when I said, lo yikach, you know what I meant? I didn't mean you can't get married. I just meant that you're going to produce a chalo. But you're still going to have Tisus Kedushin in other areas. So learns the Shidda Mekubetzes. A totally different pshat than the way Tosfos learned it last week. Okay, so we have two mahalachim on how to read this Gemara. But either way, Tosfos' mahalach is the mahalach we're going to go with for today. That Tosfos' mahalach is that mamzeris is dependent upon Kedushin. If the baby's a mamzer, the Kedushin does not go through. If the baby's not a mamzer, the Kedushin does go through. And we spoke at length last week from Rabbi Chonon, is it a Siba or a Sim? But we started last week, and really 2 weeks ago, to deal with a kasha from the Marsha. The Marsha number 3 has a kasha on this system. What was the system? The system was that if there's a mamzer that equals kedushin not being chal, if there is no mamzer that equals kedushin being chal. Frektemar shah kasha from Yivam Alushuk. Number three, ktas kasha amaylo tikshu from Yivam Alushuk. Why didn't Taisus ask in the case of Yivam Alushuk? What's Yivam Alushuk? A lady whose husband dies with no children, and her brother is around, so she falls Yibam to the brother, she has to either chalitz or Yibam. So if some guy from the street comes out and wants to give her a kedushin, that kedushin is not chal. And yet, says the Marsha, the baby is not a mamzer. Meaning, if let's say, for example, Levi goes over to this woman, right? So Reuben was her husband, Shimon was the brother-in-law. So Shimon's waiting to do Yibam Achalit. So Levi is an outside man. He comes over to this lady, and he gives her kedushin. He says, Ariam Mekudesh Asli. So the rabbis say the marriage doesn't go through. Then he decides to forget marriage. I'll just live with her straight up. He lives with her, and they have a baby, so that baby is not a mamzer. So Frekta Marsha, why is the baby not a mamzer? The rule was, anytime there's no tefisah kedushin, the vlad's a mamzer. And over here, there's no tefisah kedushin, so why is the vlad not a mamzer? That was the Marsha's kasha. So we mentioned last time from the Beis Yankov, from the Nesivis, that the Nesivis doesn't understand what the Marsha is talking about, because there's an explicit tefisah in Yevamis. Tefisah in Yevamis asks this exact same kasha. And tefisah over there gives somewhat of a difficult answer. So the Nesivis writes, Ayin Marsha, number four, Ayin Marsha shetamam Yevam l'shuk. The Marsha asks from Yevam l'shuk. With all respect to the Marsha, Nishnan Yemenu at Taisis Yivam is Davem Tesam Beis. The Marsha seemed to have forgotten that Taisis and Yivam is Davem Tesam Beis. Taisis over there asks the same kasha. He asks his kasha. He asks that if the system works, that whenever there's no mamzeris, there is kedushin, and whenever there is no mamzeris, there is kedushin. So how do you explain Yivam Lushuk? Yivam Lushuk has no mamzeris, yet Yivam Lushuk still has no kedushin. How does that work out? So Taisus answers over the Yivam is v'tiritz Yivam l'shuk kivin shay medes lachloitz k'moy liyavim chashiva b'tfisas kedushin. So Taisus gave an answer, which is again a little hard to understand. That since she's different, meaning she's not like your typical girl, since she's waiting for something to take place, something's supposed to happen to her, and therefore once something's supposed to happen to her, her status is going to change. Therefore, she's already considered a bas tfisas kedushin. Meaning, we have to look at her like she really has kedushin. Why? Because in any minute, any second, something will change in her status. It's supposed to change. It's skuka to change. The guy's got to do something. He's either going to be miyabim or miyachlitzer. He's got to do something. And then her status will change. Therefore, we look at it now as if her status has changed. And many of you asked last week, correctfully so, that what does that mean? But once something will happen to her, meaning she's only a Yevama L'shuk until something happens to her. Once something happens to her, she'll either be called the Yevama or she'll be called the Chalutza. So in the matzif that she's in right now, the Yevama L'shuk matzif, that title, that status, she has no kedushin and the vlad's still not a mamza. So Itaka found that Reb David Kriyat asks his kasha. He says, L'chayre ma'svar, he says, what's the svar of the Taisus and Yevamas? Da'loi sofko sof achshav le'tafsi be'kedushin. Who cares what's going to happen in the future? Right now, Basher Rusham, this woman is a Yevama L'shuk. Vim tachloitz, and if you're going to do chalitza to her, batol shem Yevama, v'zehu shem acha. Good. So ein echnami, you could do chalitza to her and then she'll be a free bird. But that's not what a Yevama L'shuk is. That's a different title. She'll be called the chalutza. In the matzav where this woman finds herself right now as Yevama L'shuk, she has no tefisas kedushin and the vlad still not a mamzer. He says, v'zedoy mil shem achas ishtoy. That's just like an achas ishtoy. The k'shemesa ishtoy, what happens when the guy's married to two sisters? So his wife dies, batel shem achas ishtoy. So now, why is he allowed to marry his wife's sister? Because she's no longer his wife's sister, because she dies. U'mikom lachim k'shi achas ishtoy. But as long as they're married, mikri d'loy tavsi be'kedushin. Meaning he asks a very gishmak akasha, the fee this logic, why would it ever be also to marry your wife's sister? Because my wife's sister, the wife could die. So if the wife dies, and then she's no longer my wife's sister, now she becomes mutter. So even though right now we're married, and my wife is living and healthy, but it could change. Now that's not such a kasha, because that's, as I mentioned last week, lav dafka, anything will change. I mean, there's no reason to think that anyone's wife is going to drop dead, and therefore change the status. But over here, by Yevoma, you have a reason to think it's going to change. It has to change. She needs to take off that status. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why does he, once a woman dies, she's still my wife's sister. She always remains with that name. She just now becomes mutter, but she's still always in a status.
Not halachically. Not halachically. She's pashtus.
Right.
Yeah, I'm saying the Isra Bachosisha, which was last week's parashah, is pashtus not relevant after the wife dies, so there's no longer that relationship. So it's mutter. So again, my cash on this comparison is that by Achos Ishtoi, there's no reason to think the wife is going to die, and therefore look at the sister as if she's already mutter. But by a Yavama, you have reason to think the Yavama is going to... You have very good reason to think the Yavama's status is going to change. Because it has to change. You can't stay in limbo forever. But in any case, it's a good Ha'ara. Many of you mentioned it last week. And I wanted to show you that it's brought down over here in David Kviat as well. But let's get back to the original question. This is what we've been trying to get to for a few weeks already. The kasha of the Marsha is Yavama Lushuk. Yavama Lushuk doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is Tvizis Kedushin and Mamzeris go hand in hand. Yavama Lushuk is a kasha. So we started last week with a Gemara in Kedushin. We'll just go through it again outside and then we'll get into the Ikar Sugya. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know you can't marry a relative? How do you know you can't marry an Arayis? So the Gemara says, we learn that from Achos Ishtei, last week's parasha. You're not allowed to take a wife and her sister. So the Torah explicitly says you're not allowed to marry a wife and her sister. So the Gemara says, good, that's very nice. How do I know all the other rais? So the Gemara had kashas, and the Gemara said, it's a hekish. I make a hekish from all the arayas to achos isha, and included in that Gemara, the Gemara threw an eshes ish. Which means the Gemara wanted to know, how do I know I can't marry a married woman? So the Gemara says, because I learned from the Hekish. All from the Hekish that I can't marry a married woman is learned from Achos Isha. That's a Gemara in Kiddush. Now, we've spoken many, many times about this Avnei Melum and the Pnei Yeshua. Many, many times, but we'll go through it one more time. There's a fascinating Machloikis Avnei Melum and the Pnei Yeshua, also about a pasuk in last week's Parsha. You know, I heard many years ago from Rabbi Spiegel's son-in-law. What's his name? The big speaker. He lives in Bar Park. He's a chosh of a yid. I forgot his name already. No? Anyone remember his name?
Arlo.
What?
Arlo Weinberg?
Arlo Weinberg, yes, thank you. So he used to say, I heard it from him, he said over that whenever you come across something in your learning, and it's like the Parshas HaShavua, it's a special Siyata Dishmaya that you're learning is the right thing. You're doing the good. You're doing something good. If it connects to something that's going on. So mamash, all of these gemaras are all psukim in last week's parasha, this week's parasha. So it's a raya min hashemayim that we're doing the right thing. Okay, I heard that from him many years ago. In any case, so we have a pasuk in last week's parasha about a shivcha charufa. What's a shivcha charufa? A shivcha charufa is a shivcha knanis who is owned by two men, and one man frees her, one owner frees her, and the other owner doesn't free her. So she's half free and half not free. She's what's called a chatzi shivcha v'chatzi bas chayrin. And she's married to an Eved Ivri, because an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry shivcha kananis. So she's chatzi shivcha v'chatzi bas chayrin, who's married to an Eved Ivri. So the Torah says, what happens if another person lives with her? So he has to bring a korban osho. So the question is there tvisis kedushin in such a woman? Can such a woman who's a shivcha kananis, chatzi shivcha v'chatzi bas chayrin, who's married to an Eved Ivri, does she have tvisis kedushin from a third man? So the Avnei Melum writes like this in number 6. He says, "Lanis daiti nira, the bezed toifs in kedushin shein." He thinks a second man could marry her. Why? Why would you be able to marry a chasi shivcha v'chasi bas chayrin who's married to an eved ivri? So explains the Avnei Meluim, because the Gemara says in kedushin, "Minol de kedushin toifs mechavi lavin." How do you know you're not allowed to marry chavi krisus? Umaisiyale meachos yishu v'machos yishu parfli ma'akasha b'shlam mekula asin aleishes zvei shlachin klamifrach. Okay, we saw that whole Gemara. I'm just skipping around. So the Gemara says the Hekish. The Kivan the Eishesh Gufo Loinavka on El Maikesha Vishom Loinavka Elachai Vikrisa Dichsiv Nichrusu. Says the Avnuma Gaval the Galupol. You see from that Gemara in Kedushin that a married woman, the only reason why a married woman can't get married to another man is because of the Hekish, because she's considered an erva like Achos Isha. However, says the Avnei Meluim, that's all fine and dandy if the erva is a Chai Vikrisus. Right, normally an Eishes Ish is a Chayav Krisus. Normally, all these other arayos are Chayav Krisus, but over here, by Chazi Shiva v'Chazi Baschor, it's only a laugh. Therefore, says Davnei Meluim, he says v'kivan d'beshiv chacharuf alek alay misa v'alay krisus im came in olam d'alay tavsei b'kedushin. Had another kedushin is not chal. Gaval d'gachav, says Davnei Meluim. If the Gemara tells me,
I don't understand the question. She's a Chazi Shivcha, so. Just like by a man who's a chatzi eved chatzi b'chor, he can't give kedushin. Why should a woman who's a chatzi shivcha chatzi bas chor be able to receive kedushin?
Okay, that's more of a kasha. That's more of a kasha upon her status as a chatzi and a chanami. That's a good question. But the point that Avnei Meluim is addressing over here is what's her status as a married woman? So he says her status as a married woman would not stop another person from marrying her. Why? Because there's no din that married women can't get married. The din is married women that carry a title of an erva that carries along X and Y punishments, that's learned from Achos Isha. And he wants to suggest that a shivcha charufa, because it doesn't carry those punishments, it's not included in the hekesh. So he writes, "V'im kein nira devade tavsi b'kedushin." Then there is tvisis kedushin for such a woman. Dili didon leka midi dili tavsi b'kedushin alachave misis akrisis v'gamino l'machos isha. Because where else does it say it? If the whole mikar for the lack of marriage is learned from the that gemara in kedushin, so you have to be like the gemara in kedushin. And since the gemara in kedushin only included chave misis bez and chave krisis, not lavin, so lavin l'chayra should be open to tvisis kedushin. What about yivam l'shuk? He says, "Gufa, Yivam Lushuk is a raya because Yivam Lushuk, the Gemara has to come up with another drasha to tell me that there's no tefisas kedushin by Yivam Lushuk. Why? Because the hekish of the Gemara in kedushin was only for chayvei krisis and chayvei misas bezdin. So anyone that doesn't fit that criteria is not included in the hekish. So therefore, argues the Avnei Meluim, achatzi shivcha v'chatzi baschorin, even if she's married to an eved ivri, she would be subjected to be able to get married by another man, right? At least half of her, whatever, even though she's married, because she does not take on the status of an erva learnt out from Achos Ish. So writes the Avnei Meluim. However, the Pnei Yeshua in Gittin disagrees. And Avnei Meluim quotes him. He says, "B'chudushi Pnei Yeshua perek ha-shalech tafem gimel hiksha da'kat mishkachat eishes shnei meisim kodim shichra v'chaz." Okay? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, no. He says, let's get to the end. He says, "Utaris the hakamashmon ba'alma kedushin tofes bechavilav and haynu chavilav in the alma. Avai de kedushin b'lav hochi lo meshkachas kedushin acha kedushin." Says the Pnei Yeshua, maybe a chnami if it's a regular chavilavin, maybe you could have tefisas kedushin, but not by a married woman. You know why? B'lav hochi lo meshkachas kedushin acha kedushin the kivun she tofsin kedushay ruvein hare hebrew shusai ve'in lo yad lekabel kedushin me'acha. Says the Pnei Yeshua, gevaldig yisoid. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it doesn't matter if it's an Eishes Ish. When we come to an Eishes Ish, it doesn't matter what level Isser it is. You know why? Because she's bought. You can't buy that is already owned. So the Pnei Yeshua is coming up with a new Yisoid. Says the Pnei Yeshua, do you know why an Eishes Ish is not Shaykh Tvisis Kedushin? It's not because of an Erva. It's not because she is an Arayis. It's because you can't buy that is not for sale. It's bought already. She's bought. Therefore, says that Pnei Yeshua, he disagrees with the Avnei Meluim. The Avnei Meluim wanted to say that a chatzi shivcha v'chatzi bas chayrin would be able to get married to another person because she doesn't fit the Achos Isha narrative. And since she's not comparable to Achos Isha, therefore, she is able to have Tvisas Kedushin. Says the Pnei Yeshua, what are you talking about? An Eishes Ish can't get married to another man because you can't buy that belongs to someone else. So tainu is the Pnei Yeshua. Now, what's the obvious kasha on the Pnei Yeshua, on the Mahalach of the Pnei Yeshua? If the Pnei Yeshua was right, that you can't buy that is not for sale, so why does the Gemara in Kedushin lump Eishes Ish into that equation? The Gemara says in Kedushin, all the Arayis, including Eishes Ish, is learned out that there's no Tvisas Kedushin from where? From the Hekesh, from Achos Isha. Frecht, the Achroinim, Stipler, the Chazinish, many other Achroinim asks, 1 second. If the Pnei Yeshua is right, and he makes a lot of sense, I think David Pollack suggested this last week, it makes a lot of sense to say that you can't buy a married woman because she's already bought, and until you free her with a getter misa, so she's not available. But if so, so why did the Gemara in Kedushin have to tell me that the way I know that an Eishes Ish doesn't have Tvisas Kedushin is from the Hekesh of Achos Isha? Why didn't the Gemara just say that Eishes Ish is a Svara? Like the Pnei Yeshua is saying, it's a svara that what? The svara is that you can't buy that is not available for purchasing. As I frek the achrein, a very strong kasha. So the Stipler, number 7, addresses this kasha. He writes, says the Stipler, this is the Stipler's in Yevamis. He writes, "V'kasavti b'chelik beisim yinal b'shei morgan achazinish," his brother-in-law the Chazinish, "the ein zu raya." It says it's not a raya. Why? The sugiyas haGemara shom b'kedushin le'inyan mamzeris. He wants the tain achidish. Zok the Stipler, that Gemara in Kedushin, when it was talking about how do you know there's no tefisas kedushin by arayis, it wasn't just asking on the marital status. It was asking not only on the marital status, but as well on the mamzeris status. So he wants the tain like this, that according to the Bnei Yeshua, you can't buy that is not available for purchasing. Good. That would only explain why you can't buy an Eishes Ish. It would not explain why the baby is a mamzer if you try to live with an Eishes Ish. Meaning the Pnei Yeshua's pshat is very practical, but it's not so much halachic. Meaning, the Pnei Yeshua's understanding won't make all the arayas producing mamzerim. All it shows you is that an Eishes Ish can't get purchased, so there's no Tvisas Kedushin. Good, so there's no Tvisas Kedushin. Why does that explain why an Eishes Ish would produce a mamzer? The answer is, says the stipler, that's what you need the Hekish for. The Hekish teaches me much more than just the lack of ability to make a marriage. The Hekish teaches me that you can't make a marriage because there's something fundamentally wrong with the relationship, and that what's fundamentally wrong with the relationship also produces a mamzerus. So when the Gemara asks in Kedushin, how do you know an Eishes Ish has no Tvisa Kedushin? The Gemara wasn't just asking practically, how do you know you can't buy that's not available for sale? That's partial, like the Pnei Yeshua says. What the Gemara's agenda was is, how do I know that the E-Tvisa's Kedushin is a gilion to the status of Mamzeris? On that, I need the Hekish of Achos Isha. The Hekish teaches me that an Eishes Ish has a din of an Erva, and when you have an Erva, that produces a Mamzer. That's the stipler's Mahalach. A very Gishmak Mahalach. He says, let's read it inside. He says, the Sugis HaGemara Shom HaKedushin L'Inyam Mamzeris. I read that Gemara, they're talking about Mamzeris. The Mehai Taima De'im Ba'Teres Kedushin of a Mamzer, because it goes hand in hand. You can't say, according to the Bnei Yeshua, if I can't marry an Eishes Ish because she's bought, that's going to produce a mamzer. So therefore, if I want to explain why the baby's a mamzer, I have to come on to the fact that the woman's an erva. How do I make the woman an erva? Because of the hekesh of Achos Isha. So it says the stipel that answers the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. If the reason you can't marry an Eishes Ish is just because she's not available, pshita dein avla mamzer, the baby's not going to be a mamzer. K'may chareshes v'shoita dein b'kedushin v'avlad kosher. Let's say a shoita can't get kedushin. So if someone's boil a shoita, the baby's a mamzer? Of course not. There's nothing wrong with the relationship, it's just a technical problem. Says the stipler, comes out the fiza, every married woman, there's two reasons why you can't marry a married woman. One is mishum erva, v'habez mishum de'ein lo ma'la haknois, there's not what to buy. Because over there you don't have erva, and kedushin toivs and akapon mishum she'ein lo ma'la haknois, she kvar knuya l'acherim, kedivri ha'pnei Yeshua. So says the stipler, very gishmak. A regular Eishes Ish has two Mineas. Has the Shem Erva, and it has the Pnei Yeshua's problem of, you can't buy that, that's not available. But what about a Chatzi Shivcha v'Chatzi Baschayim? A Chatzi Shivcha v'Chatzi Baschayim doesn't have the Shem Erva because she's not a Chavi Krisus. So the Erva is not what's stopping the Kedushin. So what stops the Kedushin? Dr. Pnei Yeshua, the fact that she's already bought to someone else. So the stipler is very Gishmak. So the stipler is teaching us that there's two dinim over here. There's a din of, I can't marry someone because she's not available because she's pre-owned, right? An almana can't marry a kohen, not because she's pre-owned. She doesn't belong to anyone. Her husband died. She's a free bird. She's a free, you know, she can do whatever you want. However, for example, an Eishes Ish, I can't marry an Eishes Ish because she already belongs to someone else. Okay. Now, if you just take a look quickly, number 9, the Chelkas Yoyev has a different answer to the kasha of the stipler. Again, what was the kasha? If the Pnei Yeshua is right, that the reason why you can't marry an Eishes Ish is because an Eishes Ish is already owned by someone else, so why does the Gemara and Kedushin have to lump Eishes Ish in the mix of the Hekish of Achos Isha? You don't need the Hekish for an Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish is partial, there's no Tvisus Kedushin. So the stipler and the Chazon Ish answered the Chiddush over they had to do with Mamzeris. The Chelkas Yoyev comes up with a different chapi, writes, V'hinei l'chayra niru dezel le'shayach rak ba'arusa. Aval b'nesua yodu kuliyamud le'tavsi Kedushin acher. He says the difference would be an arusa versus a nesua. Arusa is the first level of marriage, and the nesua is the second level of marriage. So he wants to tie it like this. When do we need to come onto the hekesh of achos isha? That explains an arusa. Why? Because you only have the first stage of marriage. You don't exactly own her as much as you do after the second stage. So the whole concept of the Pnei Yeshua about owning a woman, Zog the Chelkas Yoyev, only makes sense after nesuin. After Nisun, ain't Achrami. After Nisun, she's completely yours, L'chol Dvarim. She's Birushusay L'gamri. Then you could say that the reason why you can't marry an Eishes Ish is because she belongs to me. But Taina, the Chelkas Yoyev, but what about after Erisin? You don't have full bailus over her after Erisin. We learned together in Kedushin, there's limited power that a husband has over his wife after Erisin. So he wants to Taina, maybe that's the answer. The Gemara in Kedushin that lumps Eishes Ish with Achos Yishoy is talking about when she's only in Arusa. When she's only in Arusa, she has no real practical, the husband doesn't have as many practical kinyanim in her, so then he's not really called her property. So then that wouldn't stop someone else from marrying her. Then you need to come on to the Erva. But once you switch over to Nisuin, once you do Chuppah, so now you're full blown, she's mamish your property Lagamri. Now that she's your property Lagamri, then Avada, you don't need to come on to the Erva. Then you can just say the Svara of the Pnei Yeshua. So therefore, he wants to answer that when the Gemara in Kedushin came on to Achos Isha, that was because we were talking about an Arusa. But for a Nisuin in Echanami, you wouldn't need that Svara. Okay. Now, let's
that
roll.
It makes a lot of sense. Asian Sitch is a very different type of erva. I mean, every other erva is either a blood relative or someone married to a blood relative. This is someone who you're not related to at all, yet the Torah calls an erva. So it makes sense you need a separate pasuk to teach you all these things.
Right, but again, if the purpose of, if the site of Etvisa's Kedushin is just merely a practical reality because she belongs to someone, so why do I need a drasha for that? That's very practical. It's very logical.
Right, but what makes an ancient sage an erva in the technical sense of the word?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you want to say better. You want to say even better. You want to say that that's good for the chiddush of the hekish. Because I would have assumed that an ancient sage doesn't really carry any major shame erva because there's no blood relations like you find by other ones. Okay, good. And echanami, that's part of the chiddush of the hekish. Now,
how far do you take the hekesh? Meaning, Achos Isha is also unique erva that it changes after death, and all the other ones don't change after death. So why wouldn't I learn from Achos Isha that the other arise do change after death?
All right, so the Gemara Shtikl asked that kasha. The Gemara basically said that at least Eishes Ish and Eishes Ach are unique, that there are Shas Heterim, and the Gemara is, I mean, of course, you mean, right, because as long as she's an Achos Isha, it doesn't change. That's what we said earlier. But B'matziv Shehu, you know, as long as it's her wife's sister.
All the arayas change after death. From Achos Isha, if I'm going to take the hekesh, how far do you make the comparison?
Okay, I hear. That's more of a general shaila in each erva and arayas. How do we structure it, right? Okay, Erchami, we'd have to go through each one to see how that plays out. Now, we're still in route. Let's not take our mind off the goal over here. We're still trying to use all of this to answer up the Mashal's kasha. But before we do that, let's just have a little bit more tumbling, as my Rebbe used to say, let's tumble a little bit, or pshetel a little bit, about this notion. What's this notion? That there's two dinim in why there's no Tvisus Kedushin by an Eishes Ish. One is because she's married, and one is because she has a shame erva. So the Minchas Chinuch, I don't know why I can't get a new copy of Minchas Chinuch on my Yitzhar Chachma, it boggles my mind, but I only have the old copy, the old print. But in the Minchas Chinuch, he has a fascinating Shtikl Torah over here, in Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi Aleph. He talks about the following Shaila. It's a wild shaila, but it's very lumdish. He says nistapik. He says I want to know in ben noyach bo al erva shaloi in koin oisa bebiyazul leschayiv acher. He says, what is it shayich for a ben noyach to be koine an erva l'shem kedushin? Let's say a ben noyach decides to be boil his sister l'shem kedushin. Would he be able to create ishus on a ben noyach level through an erva? Now, what's the shiloh? What's even the start of the shiloh? We learned in Kedushin that there's no Tvisus Kedushin by Arayas. Ah, says the Menachas Chinuch, Kigoyim ben noyach shabal ima im kon al yis eishes ish, v'chayv acha ayidei, oi kemai b'Yisrael. Do we say, oi kemai b'Yisrael ein Kedushin taifsin by Arayas? Kemai kein, gabe ben noyach. Then he has even a more geshmak in Afkemina. V'chein Afkemina im bo al imoi, im benoy chayv mishom eishes ish lacham misasei. What happens if a guy is boil an erva who's married? Is that also going to be the Isra of Eishes Ish? He writes over here, they bring down from the Chachme Ashkenaz, She'en koine moise, you cannot be koine an erva. Why? K'moy gabe didon, like us. Says, so the Minchas Chinuch brings down from people who say, let's say a ben noyach, a guy goes over to his sister and says, I want to marry you. I'm sure this happens in the crazy world we live in today. You can marry anyone you want. You can marry a tree. You can marry same gender, opposite gender, side genders, whatever you want. So a guy goes over to his sister. I want to marry my sister. Does this sister become Tvisus Kedushin to with regard if another person would come and live with her, it would be considered an Eishes Ish? So Zalta Minchas Chinuch, some people say no, that she's just like the Torah. Just like the Torah says you can't marry your sister, a guy can't marry his sister either. But he says, L'chair, it should depend. He says, well, didi ain't near. I don't think so.
Kivan dahad ain't kedushin. There's no kedushin by gayim altogether.
There is a level of something that there is a concept of kedushin with regard to the gayim for themselves that they have. That if a guy, two goyish people get married, it's very possible that if a third guy goes over and lives with them, they might be over some form of eishes ish. They have some form of a concept of marriage, not exactly the Torah's marriage, but they have some form of eishes ish that they do have. So it says them in Minchas Chinuch. One second. Based on what we learned, it doesn't make any sense. Kivan dohad the inkdushin types of mechave mises bez dinu mechave krisus nafkula mikra. Again, how do I know I can't marry my sister? Not because it's logical, not because it's it doesn't make sense in society, because I have a pasuk. I have a hekish. The hekish says that anyone that's considered a chayvi mizis bezdin or a chayvi krisis, I can't marry. So therefore says the Minchas Chinuch, ubeloy ze lo yavdinon. And without that, we wouldn't know it. In Kain, the Gabi ben Noach, the less like Kromanon, the late Tassel Kedushin, by Reis. He says, Mechatesa. Again, it's a very important thing to think about, because we have in our mind morally, you can't marry an Erva. It's just morally incorrect. What do you mean morally? Yes, of course it's morally incorrect. But how do you know the marriage doesn't go through? The answer is because the Torah told us through the Hekish of Achaisisha, the Torah said, any woman that your relationship with her is death penalty either by Kairos or Mises Bezin, no marriage. So Zaktim Minchas Chinuch, well, the Torah didn't say that for a guy. The guy doesn't have these punishments. Therefore, Zaktim Minchas Chinuch, L'chayra, a guy should have Tvisis Kedushin. In Kein Agabe Ben Noach, the less like Kramen, no, and the latest Kedushin by Reis. Ve'ein L'mida Ben Noach Mi'Yisrael. Don't make the comparison. Al-Kei Nira did Tavzi Be Kedushin. So Taimid, the Minchas Chinuch, he thinks it's not true. He thinks if a boy goes over to his sister, or a boy goes over to his... I'll keep it simple. A boy goes over to his sister, boy goes over to his mother, and he gives her Kedushin. Again, assuming his mother's not married, the Kedushin's Chal. Because the whole reason why there's no Kedushin by Arayis is learned from the Hekish, and the Ben Noach is not included in the Hekish. Now let's make it more complicated. What happens if a guy wants to marry an Eishes Ish? A guy is an Eishes Ish. Can a guy marry an Eishes Ish? So Zokta Minchas Chinuch, it should depend on the Machloikis, Pnei Yeshua, and Avnim Aluim. Why? Nira L'Oysen Hashita Shekrak HaSafti La'el. The Gam Av She'en Bamisa. I forgot what that stands for. Mikomok, okay. Loi nitvasu kedushin shal acha kivin de knui lekamo. Vasheni in a moisav al of Israel, in biyod de kerech laknes atzma. Im kain, kan, gam kain, im bo al eishes chaveri, in a knuizu. Zog de minchas chinuch, what happens if a guy wants to marry, he wants to buy a kedushin of a eishes ish, of his friend's wife? Would it be typhus? So he says, it should be tolly. If the Isser eishes ish is because of the erva, there's no erva by a guy. But if it's because you can't buy that is not available, he thinks here also, you can't buy that is not available. So the Minchas Chinuch Mamish takes this Yisoid so far, with Machloikis, Pnei Yeshua, and Avnim Aluim would be relevant when discussing Eishes Ish with a Ben Noach. Okay, good.
I would say just the opposite. There, yeah. There's no Kinyonim of Eishes by a guy, but there's Gila Rais by a guy. It's one of the Shiva Mitzvahs Pnei Noach.
Yes, there is. The question is, does she have the same Erva that we learn from Kedushin of Zamal Zayin? Is Eishesh one of the Arayis? That's also not so poshut. Right? One of the Arayis for a Goyim is definitely Mishkav Zohar, that we do know, but that's a question.
Well, Eishesh might, might be a din in Geneva, which is also one of the...
Right, which would work out very nicely. Which would work out very nicely according to the Pnei Yeshua.
Which means there's a Chi of Misa, and then therefore... then it would make sense. It would be Yitfizah's Kedushah. Whatever that means, by
God. Right. Okay, so now we haven't came back. What did I want with all this Shtikl Torah? What I wanted with all this was to explain the Marsha's Kash. So Reb Itzel Panovitcher comes up with a Gavaldik Echap. So okay, Reb Itzel Panovitcher, how do we understand Yevam Lushuk? What's the matzif of Yevam Lushuk? So Yevam Lushuk is a lady whose husband dies. She's now stuck. She has to wait till the Yavam comes. Why? And we spoke a lot about this when we learned Kedushin. What's holding back this woman? So Reb Itzel explains in number 11. He says, "Dehini be'emes molei b'chol hashas, duhu b'teiras kinyan shalo acha meis, demahani gam liyavim." So Reb Itzel, it's pretty clear in Shas that the dead brother's bailus or kinyan is what helps the brother be marry her. Meaning that there's still some ishus kinyan left in the first husband that either gets transferred to the yavim or that helps the yavim, but there's something veer from the dead husband. The BMS, Ikalamand Amar Nisuna Rishonim, Mapilin, because there's a sheet that says even the first marriage is connected, Rafilamand Amar Misa Mapelos, okay? Avul Emes, so this is what I want. The Kinyan Shalo Ach Hameis Mahani Gam Liovim, Vuhubitaychas Kinyan. Somehow, some way, the brother, their first brother who married this woman when he gave her that ring 25 years ago, and then he died 25 years later, that Kinyan is somehow still affecting the Yibam today. We also know that it's a kinyan, because the Gemara has a kasha, shken skuka vaymedis, Upirish Rashi v'taisus the pirchas haGemara who the kibud is kuko mikaidim hayavam v'nimtza da bihu loy rak gemar kinyan v'loy tchilas kinyan. The Gemara makes a comment. We spoke a lot about this in Kedushin Afe that a yavam is a kuko. What does that mean? It means that the brother's original kinyan is still there, and now you're kind of just like finishing it off by marrying her. So Zok to Rebitzel Gevaldik v'inei mod deinay ala issa ba'alma nimtza da kinyan shel Kedushin nisave aide habiyah metchilah batzeif elavade da zika hi be'emes kinyan. Zokdi, Reb Itzel, you have to understand, you know what Yivam Lashuk's matzif is? Her husband is still in the picture. The dead husband is still alive. He still has a kinyan in her. A quasi-kinyan. Enough of a kinyan that the brother fills the void. Enough of a kinyan that makes it a chavi lavin. But the dead husband's bilus in the Isha somewhat still remains. Nemela what? In Cain, we learned before that when Tvisa's Kedushin is totally in Erva, so the baby is a Mamzer. When Tvisa's Kedushin is totally in someone else owning it, the baby's not a Mamzer. So in Cain, we can answer up, Givaldik, Yivam L'shuk, Avadi Yivam L'shuk has no Tvisa's Kedushin. But not because she's in Erva. She has no Tvisa's Kedushin because her husband is still shtickle married to her. He still has a kinyan in her. That kinyan is what prevents another person from marrying her. That kinyan, which is goofa, what's going to help the yavam do yibum, that kinyan that's still there, that still lingers from the Eishes Hameis, that's still there. Oh. And whenever the Eitvis Kedushin is because of a kinyan, not because of an erva, the Vlad's not a mamzer. Oh. Now we understand why Yivam Lashuk, the Vlad's not a mamzer. Because the Eitvis Kedushin is not because she's an erva, she's not an erva anymore. Her husband died. She's a free bird. But her husband's still holding on to her. He still has a kinyan in her. That kinyan is like the Pnei Yeshua's Eishes Ish. And whenever it's only because of kinyan, not because of erva, the Vlad's not a mamzer. It's very geschmack to answer up the Marsha's Kasha based on all of what we just said earlier. Okay. Now, let's go now talk about something else. Everyone with me? Maybe? I don't see everyone. I don't know why today I can't see everyone. I'm assuming everyone is with me. But this is a very geschmackish Tegel Torah that I think brings everything together.
We're here with you, Rabbi.
Okay, Givaldik.
I'm able to be seeing we're here.
Okay. I think this Mahalach brings everything together. It ends up the Kash is a very, very geschmackish Tegel Torah. What I want to spend a little time now is on the actual Gemara. The Gemara told us that when an Almana lives with a Kohen Gadol, so that it says, Chalulin hu asa ve'ina asa mamzeru. The baby's a cholol, and the baby's not a mamzer. So let's have a little bit of a background over here, and we'll see this is actually a very lomdish sugya. How do we understand different isurei bia? So let's say, for example, a mono lives with a kohen gadol, or a grusha lives with a kohen. Those are all chavi lavin. That's a lav. It's not a chavi krisis, it's a chavi lavin. So according to this gemara, the status is the baby becomes a cholol, and the baby does not become a mamzer. So what makes a mamzer, what makes a cholol? So let's see the gemara number 13. Kedushin avayin zayin. Amr Rav Yehuda, Hachi Kama, Eze hi Chalala, what produces a Chalala? Kol shenolda min psul kahuna. Anything that is born from a psul kahuna. Any baby that comes from a psul kahuna is a Chalala. Again, psul kahuna is somewhat limited. Psul kahuna includes Grusha, Zayna, Almana to a Kain Gadol. Any one of those relationships produce what's called a Chalala. What's a Chalala? A Chalala means that this baby has absolutely zero kahunic status. Meaning, if a father, a man is a kohen, and he marries a grusha, which is obviously forbidden, and he has a baby, that baby is called a chol, it has absolutely no kedushas kohen at all. He does not get kohen, he doesn't dochen, he doesn't get pidgin aben, his kids need a pidgin aben, he is absolutely zero garnished of a kohen. He has no kohunic status. That's a chol. Now, how do you produce a chol, Dr. Gemara? You produce a chol by marrying a psol kohen. Now, what's a mamzer? Number 14, Dr. Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Ravashi Hilkoch, Koyin Abo Alachoisoi, Zoyna Mashvale. What happens if a Koyin lives with an Arias? Lives with his sister. A Koyin is Balachoisoi. So he turns his sister into a Zoyna. He makes his sister into a Zoyna. And therefore, Zoyna Mashvale, Chalolo Loy Mashvale. Meaning, she's not yet, the baby wouldn't be a Chalolo yet, because the first time he lives with his sister, he's only living with an Ervo, he's not living with a Psul Kahuna. But if you were to live with her again, so now she becomes a Zoyna, then Zokti Gemara, Chayzer Uba Aleha. If you were to live with her a second time and produce a second baby, then Chaosa Chalala. Then the baby would be a Chala. So what do you see from this Gemara? You see from this Gemara that when a Kayan lives with an Erva, he doesn't produce a Chala. A Kayan only produces a Chala when he lives with a Psul Kahuna. So if a kohen lives with his sister, he doesn't produce a chal. A kohen lives with a grusha, he produces a chal. So now the question is, so what happens when a kohen lives with an erva, what's the status of the baby? So let's see the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch number 15. In Evan Ezer Simon Zayin, the Mechaber writes the following. Koyin shebo al achois mi arayis. A koyin who lives with any one of the arayis. Oy al yivom alashuk. V'nis abro mebi rishayin. And the woman gets pregnant from the first bia. V'ein havlad cholol. The vlad is not a cholol. That's the Gemara. Because you can only become a cholol from Isurei Kahuna. Not from Isurei Arayis. So if a koyin goes over to his sister, and he has the first bia with his sister, which is a chayvi krisis, but the vlad is not a cholol. So what is the vlad? What's the status of this baby? So if you look in the Beis Shmuel comments right away. He says, "Kasuv bedrish ubach da vlad nasa mamzer." You know, you read the Machaber, you say yourself, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, the vlad is not a cholol, kevaldik." So he's a regular Jewish baby. Zok to Beis Shmuel. No, we talk about it. The vlad's a mamzer. He was boiled chavi krisus, but a mamzer. There's really no practical nafkamina with regard to this. Ela yin hasra. It would only not make a difference with regard to hasra. Why? Shem havlad nikeva. Let's say the koyin lives with his sister and they have a baby. That baby is a female. The koyin rotzalisa. I say now a koyin wants to marry this girl. So a koyin is not allowed to marry a chalala. A koyin is not allowed to marry a mamzeris. So if the koyin wants to marry this woman, you have to know how to be master her. What's the hasra? So you have to warn the kohen, don't marry this woman because she's a mamzeris. But don't say, don't marry her because she's a chalola, because that's just not true. She's not a chalola. It would be considered hasra betos. So Dr. Beis Shmuel, practically speaking, when a kohen lives with an arayis, with an erva, the baby's a mamzer. Yes, the baby's not a chalola, but the baby's a mamzer, which might be even worse than a chalola, because a mamzer really can't marry into anyone. But Avad, that says the Beis Shmuel...
Does a mamzer retain his status as a kohen?
Oh, that's what I want to get to now. That's what I want to get to. Is it possible to say that there's a huge nafkamina between being a mamzer and a cholol is if it's a boy? A cholol has no kedushas koyin. Is it shaykh to say that a mamzer, that a koyin can produce a baby called a mamzer, and the baby will still retain kedushas kahuna? That's what I want to get to. So according to the Beis Shmuel, absolutely not. Right? The Beis Shmuel is assuming for davar pashit, as does the chelkas mechaykek, I didn't put it on the sheet, that it's pashit. That if a koyin produces a mamzer, that baby is absolutely not in the kahuna parish at all. Totally, it's just like a chol. It's just a name game. You know, it's a question of names. Legabi hasra. According to the Beis Shmuel, according to the Chalakas Mechaikik, a koyin that produces a mamzer is the exact same thing as producing a chol. There's no nafkamina. Practically, the baby is just as removed from the sugi of kahuna. However, comes along the Taz. Kavalika Taz. Writes the Taz. He's bothered with the Mechaber. He says, kosher. Da'akopane mamzer hu vigara mecholo. Frek the Taz on the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that if a Kohen lives with his sister, the baby's not a Chol. Frek the Taz, but the Mechaber left us hanging. The Mechaber should have said, the baby's not a Chol, but the baby's way worse, because the baby's a Mamzer. And a Mamzer is worse than a Chol. Mamzer can't marry B'Kahal. So Frek the Taz, why does the Mechaber give you like almost like a false impression that the baby is not a Chol, but the baby is what? V'yeshloima says the Taz, the Nafkemina, there is a practical Nafkemina. Linyan Achilas Truma. The Indian Achilas Truma zok the Taz that if the baby is a cholol, he can't eat truma, but if the baby is a mamzer, he can eat truma. So what do you see from the Taz? The Taz is open to the notion that a koyin can produce a mamzer baby, and that mamzer baby can have kedushas kohuna. So therefore, zok the Taz, it's very negated to know. So when the Mechaber says that the baby that's born from an arayis with a koyin is not a cholol, but you have to speak out, and it is a mamzer, and he has kedushas kohuna lagab achilas truma. So, which means we have a machloikas achrayim between the Beis Shmuel and the Taz, is if a kohen produces a mamzer from a chayve krisus, does that baby have any kedushas kohuna? But then the Taz gets even more shver. He writes, le'inyin tumas meis yesh sofik b'mamzer kohen. He says, when it comes to achilas truma, that's pashut, that a mamzer kohen would be able to eat truma. But when it comes to tumas meis, I'm not sure. I'm misupik if there'd be din of tumas meis for a mamzer kohen. So what's the obvious kasha? What's the difference? The monoshach. If you're open to the notion that a mamzer can carry kedushas kohuna, so that a mamzer has kedushas kohuna legabe achilas truma, legabe psol marriage. Again, he can't marry anyone anyways because he's a mamzer. Legabe tuma, legabe everything. Why is the Taz splitting that tumas meis? I'm not sure about. Meaning, even though this kid's a kohen mamzer,
how do you know the Taz is splitting? It depends where you put the comma.
Ah, good. So the Minchas Chinuch learns the Taz like you. I didn't have a chance to put the Menachas Chinuch on the paper, but the Menachas Chinuch wants to learn the Taz, like Seth wants to learn the Taz. That you have to read the Taz, that everything is the Suffolk. The way you read it is like this, that everything is one big Suffolk. Meaning, that we don't know what the status of a Mamzer Kohen is. Maybe a Mamzer Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Maybe a Mamzer Kohen is now become Tamei Meis. It's all one big suffix. We don't know what the status of a Mamzer Kohen is. But there's no reason to differentiate between Truma and Tuma. That's the Minchas Chinuch's way of reading it. But the Chazon Ish didn't read it that way. That's number 18. Says the Chazon Ish, from the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechoikik, it's pretty clear that they hold a Mamzer cannot be a Kohen. Ubitaskos of the Eichel B'Truma, then Yitomas Meis Yeshafik, the Leishi Ayin, Loma Truma Pshitalei, the Tuma Kami Boyele. Frek the Chazon Ish, why was the, you see clearly the Chazon Ish learned the Taz the way I'm reading it, not like Menachas Chinuch, that what? Frek the Chazon Ish, why was it that the Taz took for a Dover Poshet, that when it comes to Tumas Meis, it's a suffik. When it comes to achila b'truma, it's vaday that he's allowed to eat truma. But the most important part of this is uladas sharach reinim dina kizor l'chodover, says the Chazon Ish. But I think it's pashut that a koyin mamzer has a din of a zor with regard to all inyanim v'chein nira ikker. And then he has a rai from our gemara ksubas chavtes amibes. And looking at the next week, we'll see how can you bring a rai from our gemara to this machloikis achrein into whether or not there's any kedushas kohuna to a mamzer or not. Obviously, it will be very relevant to the gemara that we learned about chalul and huasa of ein asa mamzerim, and then we'll see a mahalach and how to differentiate between tumas meis and achilas truma. But we'll get to that in mitzvah Hashem next week. Okay, everybody, say mitzvah Hashem Tuesday night.